Today on Straight Talk Africa, the people of Sierra Leone have cast their vote. Observers say the turnout was heavy, a sign perhaps that most Sierra Leoneans are fed up with the status quo, demanding change to take the country in a new direction. That's coming up next right here on Straight Talk Africa. Hello, welcome to Straight Talk Africa, live from the Voice of America headquarters here in Washington. I am Shaka Sali.
And hello there from me to you, our viewers and listeners on the continent and elsewhere. I'm Hady Adams-Fitzpatrick, and I'll be covering social media for you.
Today, it's a discussion and analysis on the Sierra Leone presidential election.
And coming up later, your views on our topic. We've seen your emails, Facebook and Twitter comments, and we're going to reveal some of them just ahead here on Straight Talk Africa.
Voters cast their ballots Wednesday in Sierra Leone. 16 candidates are competing to succeed incumbent president Ernest Bai Koroma, who is stepping down following 10 years at the political helm of the West African nation. My colleague Paul Sisco has more.
The campaigning is over, the votes are in, the polls are closed. Now the residents of Sierra Leone must wait until the votes are counted. Outgoing President Ernest Bai Koroma of the ruling All People's Congress Party supports his former foreign minister, Samora Camara.
The people may hold the view that he is going to be his master's voice, but no, that is not the kind of character he is. He is definitely going to be himself. And because of the experience he has acquired, he knows exactly what to do moving this country forward.
To move forward, what we have to do in infrastructure, in health, in agriculture, in private sector development, in education. So it's like hit the ground running.
Camara and Julius Mada Bio of the main opposition party are considered the main contenders in a field significantly larger and different than Sierra Leone has had in the past. Some 16 hopefuls are vying for the presidency, made vacant because of the Constitution's two-term limit provision, a provision Koroma tried in vain to alter. Femi Claudius Cole is the only woman seeking the presidency. She started the Unity Movement Party.
I have assumed the role of ambassador for the women of Sierra Leone. I would like to win. Worst case scenario, if I don't win, I want to pull a number of votes that people will be stunned. How on earth did she do it?
Since the devastating Ebola crisis that claimed thousands of lives, almost 4,000 in Sierra Leone from 2014 to 2016, the playing field has changed drastically, with both parties losing much support. Corruption was widespread, and government auditors found that 30% of the Ebola funds under government control have not been accounted for, approximately $5.7 million. Political observers believe the presidential vote is likely to be sharply divided along ethnic and regional lines. On the brighter side, the arrival of new candidates and new parties, like Femi Cole with the Unity Movement and Kanda Yumkela of the National Grand Coalition, and others, has resulted in voters hearing more genuine policy debate and left them with more choices than ever before. Paul Sisco, VOA News, Washington.
Thanks, Paul, for that report. For more on today's poll, we are joined live via telephone link-up from the Sierra Leonean capital, Freetown, by my colleague, Peter Kilote. Good evening, Peter.
Good evening, Shaka. How are you?
I am terrific. How are you? What is the mood like, given reports that there was a lot of confusion and long queues?
Well, there was some confusion in some parts of the country. However, Sierra Leoneans are expecting the results to be counted. The Electoral Commission is in the process of going through, tallying the results. However, some people I hear are complaining that the process is overwhelmingly slow. We're looking forward to what will come out. Most Sierra Leonean voters are expecting a credible vote, although there were reports of skirmishes at the Gold Ridge polling station where the president voted. Julius Mada Bio, the opposition leader, reportedly had some people go in and the reports of allegations of possible hacking. So a heavy police presence has been dispatched to that area. It remains to be seen what will happen. So I'm standing by to feed more information when it arises.
Is it true that the turnout was perhaps unusually very heavy or very high?
Well, there is some truth to it because some of us went out early in the morning. Prospective voters that we spoke with said they had lined up as early as 4 a.m. this morning. There was a heavy anticipation early in the morning. However, it was tempered during the afternoon after many people voted. So, yes, it was heavy in the morning. It dwindled out a little bit in the afternoon. So things seem to be calm. Here are the Brooksfield polling station number 6. There were skirmishes there, but the police were able to put it down.
We know that there were 16 candidates trying to replace the incumbent president at State House, but some reports suggest that perhaps only 3 really may be seen or viewed as main contenders. Is that true?
That is true. You have the main APC presidential candidates, Foreign Minister Dr. Samora Kamara, who pulled a lot of crowd last week when campaign officially ended at the Shaka Stadium National Stadium here in the capital, Freetown. You have Dr. Kande Kole-Yonkela, who represents the National Grand Coalition, who is a former top official at the UN. And then, of course, you have Julius Maada Bio, who was a former military ruler and representing the Sierra Leone People's Party. And both these 3 figures were adamant that they were going to win this first round. However, it remains to be seen if any of them will be able to chalk the 55% threshold as demanded by the Constitution to win first round. Many people are saying that it could go to a runoff due to the high threshold of 55% to win the presidential vote. So, yes, there's a 3-horse race. The 2 main opposition parties, 3 main opposition parties, rather, have said that if it goes to the second round, there's a possibility of an alliance just to wrestle power from the APC.
Talking about the threshold of 55%, normally you find that you either are required, really, in many countries, to hit the magic number, which normally is 50 plus 1 vote, or a simple majority. Why is it that in Sierra Leone we're talking about 55%? What does that really mean?
Well, I have questioned a lot of people in the street, senior government officials, about it, but it looks like Sierra Leone has a unique situation based on its previous history. Remember, it had a hectic civil war, 10 years in the making. Most people have in their minds a fresh memory of those atrocities that were committed. And then the ethnic vote was also, has been endemic right here. You have the Mendes, the Temnes, and the other ethnic groups. So the framers of the Constitution thought it wise that if you want to represent the country as the leader of the country, then you must win as many votes as possible. So they set the bar so high at 55%. We'll all remember that before President Ernest Bai Koroma chalked his second round, he won it first round because he became so popular, he did quite a number of things that people thought was worth giving him a second chance to continue. However, this round, it doesn't look like it. Most people are saying that they want a fresh start. The APC supporters are saying that they are doing well, so they will continue. So the threshold of 55% is quite debatable, but that is what they have adopted in the Constitution. So let's see how it goes.
We heard that Dr. Yumukela was drawing traction largely, really, from the changing demographics. We're talking about young voters. Did he, at least from your vantage point, do you think that he may, in fact, be in a position to split or disturb the once, of course, Sierra Leonean political establishment since 1961 of the 2 major parties?
Saka, you have a point there. Dr. Yonkela comes from the north, same place that the president comes from. The president is very popular there. However, political analysts are telling me Yonkela is set to cut down or split the vote up north. The ruling party, the APC, has a two-strong strategy, the north and the west. If they are able to snatch a sizable portion of the voters in the north, then they could be cut down the hills. The APC could be cut down from the hills. And that is why the campaign was intense at way up north. So let's see how it goes. But Dr. Yonkela, yes, has attracted a lot of the country's youth. On my way here on the plane, I had several people from the National Grand Coalition who were coming from the U.S., and they were making so much noise on the plane. They were saying they were coming to protect the vote so that it will not be rigged. So people that I spoke with in the street are telling me that they prefer a fresh face. They prefer somebody new to change the system. However, the old folks are adamant that they want certain things that are being done now to continue. So let's see how it goes. But Dr. Yonkela, yes, is having much successes with the youth.
Final question, Peter. From the people that you have talked with, you have interacted with, do you get the sense that they are casting their vote based on the issues, or is it personalities or ethnic communities?
Well, it's a mixed bag, and I'll give you an example. While talking to Dr. Yonkela, one of the folks that I was working with was supposed to do something. He was awestruck. He was starstruck that he couldn't do what he was required to do. People that I spoke with earlier this morning are talking about good roads. They're talking about good education. Others are talking about food on the table, basic bread and butter issues. So it's a mixed bag of all the issues that I have mentioned. Personality-wise, Dr. Yonkela runs high. The SLPP candidate, Julius Madabio, who goes by the slogan, Power, Power, Solidarity would be better, as they say. And then you have the Tulumbo from the APC. These are the slogans that they keep on piping up. But let's see how it goes as the results trickle in.
Thank you very much, Peter, for your insight.
You're welcome, Shaka. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Take care of yourself. Now joining us here are two distinguished guests. Suna Naro, Executive Director of NOSILINA, or the National Organization of Sierra Leoneans in North America, and Kwame Fitzjohn, an independent Sierra Leonean journalist and former Managing Editor of African Profiles International. I have to say, Suna and Kwame, that I'm profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have the opportunity to host the two of you on Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
You're most welcome.
Thanks for having us, Shaka.
You're most welcome. It's a very long time since you last appeared on this show.
Well, 5 years ago to the date, we're covering the elections in Sierra Leone here at that time as well.
Very interesting. And of course, it was in a different studio then, correct? Later in the program, we'll give our audience a chance to call in with your question or comment. The number to call is 202-619-3111, and the U.S. country code is 1. Suna.
Yes.
It's glad to really have you for the first time on the show.
It's a pleasure to be here. It really is.
Your reaction from what you have heard so far?
Well, it seems that things are going well. I have not heard anything particularly disastrous. The only thing we can still hope for is that the results translate in also things going well. So in other words, as long as it's fair, then things have gone well.
What about the fact that you happen to be an executive director of a major Sierra Leonean diaspora that frankly seemed to have actually been disfranchised, so to speak?
I guess I don't perceive it as such. I think what makes NOSILINA so unique is that You know, we've been here 20 years strong, so we have been able to work under different governments and different presidents. And from Nostina's perspective, for us, we must work with the government at hand. Our focus is to help the people of Sierra Leone. And in order to truly help the people of Sierra Leone, we really don't believe it can be done effectively if we are not engaged in the government at hand. So I don't see it as disenfranchisement at all. I see it as regrouping and helping to ensure that we can continue to serve the people of Sierra Leone with whomever the people have legally chosen.
Kwame, what about you? You don't feel disenfranchised? Don't you feel like you should, in fact, have voted today?
Well, as a dual citizen of both Sierra Leone and the United States, I absolutely feel I should have cast my vote today. And that is one of the things we're hoping that the wind of change will make it possible for diaspora Sierra Leoneans like myself to have an absentee ballot, you know, whereby we too can participate, you know. And I think under the current climate, there doesn't seem to be the enthusiasm for that sort of participation on our behalf, you know. You have to actually be a Sierra Leonean and to have to have gone to Sierra Leone to get registered to vote. And then you come back, you know, like everybody in America, you know, you work, you know, find the dollar, and then you have to return to Sierra Leone at election time. So it's a lot of money. Not everybody has that, you know. Not everybody's willing to sacrifice that as well. So I think absentee ballots should be like top on the agenda for the next government.
You are a very large diaspora, really, not only in North America, but also in Europe, particularly in the United Kingdom. That is correct?
Absolutely.
Any particular reason why the authorities in Freetown, really, have not accepted the fact that you ought to have a sort of absentee ballot?
I think it's suspicion they have about we, the diaspora, Sierra Leoneans, you know, which should not be the case. I think we have to work hand in hand for the forward movement of the country. You're right, we're mostly centered in England or the UK, which was the former mother country of Sierra Leone. And of course, in recent decades, it's been America now, you know, because, you know, the America has been kind of leading the way. But we are here now. This is our reality. We're here. We're living in the diaspora. And at the same time, we love our homeland. So I think we have to actually work together. When you look at the resources that we're pouring into Sierra Leone, I mean, it matches and, in fact, surpasses what the World Bank and IMF are doing. You know, so if they do not really tap into our own wherewithal, it will be to the detriment of the country. Absolutely.
When you talk about resources, what mm-hmm. are you specifically talking about here? Are you talking about your remittances?
Yes, the remittances. I mean, I know it's true. There's been something of a brain drain, but it's which can now become a brain gain, you know, for Sierra Leone, because some of us are going back and just participating, helping the country move forward without pay that matches what we get here. All we probably just have, you know, transportation or allowances, or we're not really getting paid at all. We go there. Sunar represents an organization, Noslina, which is interested in these kind of mission programs. Doctors go back, teachers go back, and so on, and they impart their skills to the people of Sierra Leone. And help the country in that respect. So yes, we help with our monies, we help with our resources in terms of brain power, goods. Suna, of course, can speak more to that, you know, because as I say, she runs a philanthropic organization of diaspora and Sierra Leoneans. But we're ready to go, and we're fired up. Absolutely, Shaka.
Suna, once again, what are your expectations, really?
The results of a free and fair election. Those are my expectations. We at Nostina are prepared to work with the sitting government, but we are very focused on the hopes and the expectation that that sitting government is the one that has been freely and fairly voted upon and counted by the individuals, the people of Sierra Leone.
Do you expect, or do you know, for example, that the body that is conducting the election, the Sierra Leonean Electoral Commission, do you consider it to be an independent body?
Wow, I'm not sure. I would have to, I can't honestly say I know if they are independent or not, because Shaka, I don't know how they're actually selected.
Why wouldn't you know?
Because I'm not intricately involved in the politics of Sierra Leone. My focus in Sierra Leone has primarily been with the assisting of individual citizens of Sierra Leone. So I couldn't honestly say to you, these are the people that have been selected and this is why. But if you'd like to know about how we've been able to work with the government, whatever government is in place, to help make effective change, little as it may be, but effective and consistent change over the last 20 years, that I can speak upon.
How have you been able to do that, especially if you compare the government under President Koroma and the person that he succeeded, Ahmed Tijani Kabah?
Well, we've worked under both, and while there have been challenges that we know of, that folks have talked about challenges even under the late President Kabah, but also under Ernest Bai Koroma, we have a strategy in place. We work with a lot of broadcasting, a lot of crying loud, a lot of letting people know what's going on, and we have put together a system where we can actually track our monies. We have folks on the ground who, with Naslina, who do the public service announcements. We're getting ready to do this. I think what happens is Sierra Leone has to, or has learned now, that the way to be really effective is to let the world know what we're doing. And it's become a little easier with the WhatsApps of the world and the Facebooks of the world. But right now, when we become engaged, Naslina, in an activity, I send emails to the office of the president, whoever the president is. We have those accesses. I also will send information to local media, international media. So it becomes very challenging when Naslina sends, you know, $5,000, $10,000, $20,000 of goods and services. It becomes a little more challenging for things to maybe disappear, because we've been tracking it since before it left, and we hold certain people accountable for it.
Very interesting. Kwame, I asked this question earlier to Peter, who is our correspondent right in Freetown. Why is it that a lot of countries, when it comes to the threshold for the presidential vote, you either have to win with a simple majority, or you have to have 50% plus one vote? In your particular case, we're talking about 55%. Why?
And you know that they actually wanted to reduce it to 50%. The government wanted to do that in the last minute, but they did not succeed. That's how they came about that figure. I don't know the historical background, to be frank. But it is, you're right, 55%. And as Peter rightly pointed out, Peter Clote in Freetown or in Sierra Leone, it looks like we're probably maybe headed to a runoff, you see, because of three, and it's between three main candidates, Kande Kole Yunkela, who is the new kid on the block representing the National Grand Coalition. Probably he's coming from the diaspora. Like
the former United Nations Undersecretary General.
Former director of the United Nations Industrial and Development Organization, UNIDO.
Yeah. Correct.
Mada Bio of the SLPP opposition party, and of course
the former military head of state, though for perhaps there was a month or two.
Yes, the NPRC, Samura, Mr. Samura, who is
Kamara.
Samura Kamara, who
former is the foreign minister.
Yeah, he's the incumbent party, former foreign minister, former finance minister, former governor of the Bank of Sierra Leone, former financial secretary. It's between these three candidates, you know. As you say, former head of state, Mada Bio, former Undersecretary General of the UN, Kande Yunkela, and the Foreign Affairs Minister of Sierra Leone, Samuel Kamara. And it's going to be tight between these three. We're looking with bated breaths, you know, for the outcome.
If, of course, the election is credible, free, fair, and verifiable, it will be tight.
But Suna alluded to just now to the Facebooks and the cell phones and WhatsApp, these things we have. And the people themselves are the vigilantes. They're also monitoring the elections. They're not waiting for the international observers. They are there, too.
Well, what happened in Kenya, don't you?
Speak.
Well, let me ask you.
I know. I mean, of course, they had to redo the elections. Yes.
Yeah, the results at the end of the day, there is evidence that they did not, in fact, reflect the will of the people, the will of the voters. They may have reflected the will of those people who count the vote and the individual who announces the results.
We have a challenge in Africa.
Very interesting.
Absolutely.
Let me ask you a question, Suna.
Yes.
From what you have heard, are people voting based on issues, based on personalities, or ethnic or sectarian, interests?
For me personally, the people that I have had contact with or have spoken with are really interested in their bread and butter issues. You know, my son graduated from Fort Bay College. He doesn't have a job.
That's a very old institution.
Absolutely.
At one time, it was one of the three that awarded black people, Africans, university degrees.
Absolutely.
We're talking about Fort Hare in South Africa, Makerere University in Kampala, Uganda, and
Fort Bay College.
Fort Bay College.
That's correct.
Very interesting.
So the folks that I talk to are very focused on how can my daily life be better. And at the end of the day, it boils to that. Do I have a job? Can I go to the hospital? Do I, do I have to be afraid of drinking the water because I'm, because of waterborne diseases? So everyone, or I shouldn't say everyone, but the majority of the people that I talk to are focused on how do I increase or how do I enhance or make better my daily life.
Any particular reason why Sierra Leone happens to be very, very rich in terms of minerals, really? We're talking about diamonds from Kono.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about iron ore, and yet Sierra Leoneans are poor.
Well, mismanagement. And unfortunately, it didn't start today. It didn't start 5 years ago. It didn't start 10 years ago. So it's really not something that we can unequivocally say it's this president's or that president's fault. I think it's just we just have a really poor history, unfortunately, since independence.
Is it poor leadership?
It is. It is.
Mr. Koroma came from the business community, business background, correct?
Yes, he did, actually.
And his predecessor came from the United Nations.
I agree. I still stand by my word. It's mismanagement.
Very interesting. Well, you are tuned in to Straight Talk Africa. We'll have more of a conversation in a moment, including our social media segment. So please don't go away because we'll be right back with you.
Like Voice of America on Facebook. Follow VOA on Twitter. Join VOA on our YouTube channel. Like, follow, join VOA.
Today's youth are not just the next generation of African leaders, they are today's leaders. And this is the time to invest in them. Today, not tomorrow. So let's connect. Let's engage with each other on issues that will transform our societies. Innovation, leadership, entrepreneurship, things that you're doing to move the continent forward to make you the greatest generation that Africa has known. It's Upfront every Wednesday, 17:30 UTC, right here on The Voice of America.
Welcome back to Straight Talk Africa, live from Washington. It's time to bring in our social media reporter, Heidi Adams Fitzpatrick. Take it away, Heidi.
Thank you very much, Shaka. Interesting feedback on social media this week. As we mentioned, voters in Sierra Leone cast their ballots at the polls Wednesday, March 7th, to elect a new president, parliament, and local councils. This year's presidential race is considered to be wide open, with President Ernest Bai Koroma stepping down after serving for 10 years. That's two terms. And so this leads us to our question of the week, which asked, what top issues would you like to see the new Sierra Leonean president tackle first? Let's start with a tweet here from Upano Godfrey. The president should concentrate on nation building, he says, on issues where all the Sierra Leoneans should feel at home in their country, bring peace and security, as well as democracy and rule of law, in order to enhance economic development. To our social media comment of the week now from Facebook fan Omonua Okowugba from Nigeria, who writes, the most pressing issues that the incoming president of Sierra Leone must address immediately are educational development, healthcare, and agricultural development. Let's go to another comment from Maleke Sese from Ghana, who writes, healthcare. Sierra Leone needs to build more hospitals. The educational system also needs rebuilding. And our last Facebook comment comes from Revocatus Tesha from Tanzania, who says the new president needs to lift people out of poverty and build national unity. A reminder for you that we do appreciate all of your feedback. If you are a new fan, do drop us a line at africatv@voanews.com. And to comment on our Facebook page, just enter the keywords on your screen, Straight Talk Africa. And be sure to visit us online at voaafrica.com. If you want to join our YouTube channel, you can just sign up to VOA TV 2 Africa. And do follow us on Twitter at VOA Shaka. Straight Talk Africa also streams live every Wednesday on Facebook. You can simply go to VOA's Straight Talk Africa TV program page, and that is on our website. And to watch us live on your mobile device, download the VOA mobile app. Let's take a look now at what is ahead for next week's program. On the next Straight Talk Africa, U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson is on a five-nation tour of Africa, and high on his agenda are talks on counter-terrorism and advancing mutual ties with nations on the continent. On his first trip to Africa as America's top diplomat, he's expected to meet with leaders from Chad, Djibouti, Ethiopia, Kenya, and Nigeria. U.S.-Africa relations is the topic on the next Straight Talk Africa. And that is it for our social media segment today. Shaka, lots to discuss for you, Suna and Kwame, so I'll hand it back to you.
Thank you very much, Heidi, for sharing with us social media from our audience, of course. And today we're talking about these Sierra Leonean elections. Our guests are Suna Naro, Executive Director, North Lean, or the National Organization of Sierra Leoneans in North America, and Kwame Fitzjohn, Independent Sierra Leonean journalist and former managing editor of African Profiles International. I have to say again, Suna and Kwame, that I'm profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have the opportunity to host the two of you on Straight Talk Africa.
It's good to be.
You're most welcome. Your reaction? You just had social media reaction from various parts of the continent regarding your elections.
Absolutely. Before I speak to that, because you were also just talking about the history of Sierra Leone and the Athens of West Africa, which actually is Fuabe College. You mentioned that's college, and of course my antenna went up because I'm a product of Fuabe College.
Interesting.
And so is Ernest Koroma, the president. One of the viewers there was speaking about enhanced economic development. As a journalist myself, I interviewed Ernest Koroma when he came here to Washington on the invitation of Barack Obama. He came, it was four African presidents that came, and he was one of them. So was Macky Sall, the Cape Verdean president, and a female head of state, Banda of Malawi, I believe, is where she's a former president now. Mm-hmm. And of course, some of my colleagues, in fact, thought I went light on him because I had kid gloves on when I spoke to him. But he came, as I said, on the invitation of the first African American president of the United States, Obama. And I thought, to encourage that sort of strides, I was really trying to boost, the direction of Koroma at that time in 2013 when he came, not like today, 2018.
Was that when he had problems with his then vice president?
Who was removed from office, and actually the vice president, from my understanding, won the case from my readings in the media, in ECOWAS, Mm-hmm. So, but of course that will not have a bearing on Sierra Leone because in the Sierra Leone courts of law. So there you have it. So of course my interview with Koroma probably might be different today. But you're right. He's a businessman, and he did say he wanted to run the country as a business when he came to office in 2007, which was 11 years ago. You see, and now at the end of the road, did he run the country as a business? That is the question that should be answered. You also have, this is somebody I know personally. Ernest Koroma was my classmate in
really?
Farley College. Yes.
I also had the opportunity, as a matter of fact, to interview President Koroma twice.
All right.
And he looked like someone definitely who could make a difference.
Okay.
And yet when you go to the ground, mm-hmm. frankly, there doesn't seem to be any evidence, to kind of bear that out.
Well, when we were at Farabee College, these are the things we talked about, taking Sierra Leone back to the golden era of the 1960s when Sir Milton Magai, who was the architect of independence of Sierra Leone.
Sir Milton Magai, who had a brother called Arthur Magai.
Albert Magai. Right. Mm-hmm. And so those were the golden days of Sierra Leone, like in Ghana where they had Kwame Nkrumah. In your country, Uganda, where I believe it was Milton Obote, if I'm not mistaken, Julius Nyerere in Tanzania and all those. So it's sort of like, would we be nostalgic when Ernest came to power? I won't say that has been evident, Now there's Kande. Kande, Ernest is 64, I'm 62. Kande is 58. He was my junior. Also, he's part of the University of Sierra Leone. He went to Jala, the counterpart college. And he was also a student leader of those days, just like I was. We all were. He was, in fact, the president of the Student Government Association, Kande Imkela. So we all know each other. And now he wants to step forward. We may not go back to the 60s again.
Kande is remarkably articulate.
He's very well spoken.
He can talk the talk, but the question is, can he, in fact, given the opportunity, walk that talk?
That remains to be seen. The point at issue also is, it's not the diaspora that is voting in this election, it's the people of Sierra Leone. So if it's the diaspora is voting, and the world, in fact, just like we had Hillary Clinton and the present President Trump, if it was
Donald
the world
Trump.
That was voting, Hillary Clinton would win. But it was Americans that were voting, though they voted in Trump. It's Sierra Leone that are voting in, and not the world. If it's the globe, Kande will win, hands down.
But what about the young people? Because reports suggest that he's been drawing traction mm-hmm. among the young people.
Yeah, he's been making inroads into the youth. And
could the changing demographics, take him to State House?
Look at that. It's possible. Even the diaspora voters, somebody was saying, I believe it was Peter early on, that there was a plane load of diaspora voters going back to Sierra Leone to work with the people on the ground, the youth and their elders, so that to influence them to vote for ideas, not for political parties, not for tribes, vote on the basis of ethnic loyalties. We have to have a new day in Sierra Leone. And Sierra Leone, there's no reason why it should not be making moves such as, because we've had similar bad experiences just as Rwanda has had, just as Cote d'Ivoire have had. Look at them, they're making remarkable moves now. Cote d'Ivoire may become just now the gateway to business.
What do you mean as Rwanda has had? You're talking about, are you comparing the civil war in Sierra Leone? On the one hand, you had a man called Lance Corporal Fode Sanko. And then, of course, the field commander was a man called General Mosquito, Sam Bokali.
Yes, we say it in Creole, we don't say mosquito, we say mosquito.
Mosquito. I used to call him General Mosquito whenever I interacted with him via radio.
Via radio.
Very interesting.
Yes, those are the dark days of Sierra Leone. That's what I was looking at. And it's not so different, the civil war for 10 years, from 1992 to 2002. It's not so different. It may not be identical, but to the genocide in Rwanda.
You didn't have a genocide.
And also the upheaval that happened in Cote d'Ivoire. But, you know, we've all had similar, you know, turbulent histories. I even hear Nigeria is, you know, has been a sleeping giant, is waking up now. So Sierra Leone, wake up, it's time, you know.
Really?
It's up to the people.
Very interesting. But what is it that you think you need to do that you haven't been doing yourself as a Sierra Leonean that could help really bring about what you're just talking about? Because we can't simply look at these individuals who occupy State House. It's also the responsibility of the rest of Sierra Leoneans, especially those of you who happen to be in the diaspora and therefore have some advantages in terms of opportunities really to make a difference, whether in terms of social media, whether in terms of obviously remittances and what have you, and a lot of that kind of stuff. I think you have a lot of advantage to influence things really on the ground in Freetown.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I want to say too, well, I can speak for myself, of course, for want of full disclosure, I'm a founding member of North Sierra as well, of which Sunanalo is the administrative head today. Sierra Leoneans, and North Sierra is such an amazing organization because Sierra Leoneans of all stripes are part of North Sierra. It's non-partisan, non-political, but under it you have members of the SLPP, members of the ruling APC, members of the NGC, all part of this amazing organization. In fact, members of North Sierra have served the governments of Sierra Leone. One went back and served the Tidjane Kabah government, former chair of North Sierra. His name is Dr. Cecil Blake. He was the Minister of Information and Broadcasting, government spokesman for the Tidjane Kabah government. We had an APC member who was on the board of North Sierra, and he served the current government of Ernest Bai Koroma as the Deputy Minister of Education. He was Dr. Lansana Nyale.
And when you talk about serving, are they in fact serving the people? Or at the end of the day, are they in fact serving themselves and their families and their friends?
That again is up to those, the populace to determine the record. You know, their records speak for themselves, you know.
A lot of corruption, for example. Who is involved in this corruption?
Yep.
So those people who happen to be occupying some of those strategic positions.
Absolutely.
Correct?
I think also what happens is, unfortunately, poverty begets a certain degree of corruption. So when folks don't have their basic necessities, you know, and I have children that I have to feed, I start to... just in the interest of my survival, start engaging in activities that maybe I wouldn't normally engage in. So I think that, again, if those who run our country are able to provide, get our country in a place where, you know, I can go to work and at the end of the month get paid and more than I get paid to buy just one bag of rice, then I can become more involved in helping to really build up this nation. Those of us who are abroad, for me personally, I think one of the ways that I can help is to help give people a voice. You have a right to speak up. And historically, people, Sierra Leoneans on the ground, you know, they don't want to get involved. You know, there's no middle ground, I have found.
So who's going to bring about change for them?
Well, people like us, it's part of our responsibility. When we have organizations like Naslina that constantly engage people and say, don't be afraid to vote. Don't be afraid to speak your rights. You know, we will help you figure out what you need infrastructure. We may help you go to the government and engage the government positively on your behalf, on behalf of your villages or your townships. We have to get, we who are here need to be able to engage our people in Sierra Leone and help boost them up. Help boost them up so that they can fight their own battles.
Well, unfortunately, the time happens not to be our best ally. You are tuned into Straight Talk Africa. To participate in our conversation, call us at 202-619-3111. US country code is 1. We'll continue our discussion in a moment, so please don't go away, because we'll be right back with you.
This is a country that I chose to become a citizen. I didn't have to become a citizen. I chose to become a citizen.
I feel like America gave me an opportunity to pursue my passion as an artist.
I really believe that clean eating is a way to a more successful life, or a happier life, if you want to put it that way.
One of the things that helps me wake up every morning is doing better, being better.
We grew up poor, and so I'm always focused on helping the working class be able to have a more comfortable lifestyle.
I'm passionate about doing justice every day. I oftentimes say that justice is a verb, not a noun. You know, I believe in action and moving the ball forward.
If you like today's show, please write and tell us what you think or give us some suggestions. Be sure to tell us what station you're tuned into. Our address, Straight Talk Africa, Voice of America, 330 Independence Avenue Southwest, Washington, D.C., 20237, USA. Or send us an email at africatv@voanews.com. Log on to our website at voaafrica.com. Or post your comments on Facebook, keywords Straight Talk Africa.
Assumed the role of ambassador for the women of Sierra Leone. I found out that, I realized that the two main political parties that have ruled Sierra Leone since 1961 are parties which are based on region, i.e. tribe. Which means you're going to be excluding people if they do not meet your profile.
The present government has got a lot of clout. I mean, they have got a lot of money. And in a very poor country like Sierra Leone, money talks. Even people who have been suffering terribly, you know, when you give them a lot of money, you can sway them. But there are people, of course, who cannot be swayed.
That was Arthur Tairu, a retired teacher and voter in Sierra Leone. And earlier, of course, we saw the picture of Madame Femi Claudia Scholl, presidential candidate, Unity Party. Good luck to you, madam. Well, let me come to you immediately, Kwame. We don't limit this really to Africa, I mean to Sierra Leone. We can look at the entire continent. It used to be that Africa had excuses. Africa was colonized. Africa was dominated by other people and what have you. A lot of Africans did not have access to education and what have you. But let's face it, in recent times, someone would say that the intellectual balance of power has been shifting in our favor. You can go to any university anywhere in the world. You can read a paragraph and come up with your own interpretation. Africa is not a poor continent, just like Sierra Leone is not a poor continent. You have enormous resources. And people who are benefiting out of those resources, for the most part, are foreigners with elements on the continent. What is it, really, that needs to be done in order for an average African to benefit from that God-given wealth of the continent?
African countries cannot do it by themselves, really. This quagmire in which we find ourselves right now. We have to work together. There has to be regional integration. There has to be continental integration. That is the way we have to move forward. You see, you asking me earlier too, you know, what is it we can do in the diaspora to help jolt the country, to help bolster the economy of Sierra Leone and elevate it to the levels where it's expected to be. And for instance, I am one person who I actually gave the name to this organization, and it's an organization, it's the Pan-African Organization of Sierra Leone. And in fact, it is just like a beacon of light in Sierra Leone. And everybody likes to point to it to show that they're progressive. It's called PANAFU, you know, Pan-African Union. You know, I gave it its name. And I didn't do all the work. I mean, there's been others, like some of whom are even deceased today, like Richie Olu Gordon, who have done exceedingly well with that organization. And but we did these things because we want to ensure that the leaders of today in Sierra Leone have the vision, they have the leadership qualities to take us to the next level in Sierra Leone.
Suna, let me ask you this question now. We have universities. Mm-hmm. We have faculties of technology, for example, mm-hmm. which produce engineers. But when it comes to building our roads, for some reason, it is the Chinese, it is the Israelis,
right.
It is the Americans building, it is the Italians, but not us. What happens?
Well, I think that unfortunately, a lot of times we don't appreciate or value ourselves. Africans historically have tended to believe if it comes from Europe, it's better. Mm-hmm. If it comes from America, it's better. That's how I see that. Now, when it comes to the Chinese, however, I do believe that's a different ballgame, because I believe that they're able to mass produce and I think just entice us in Africa with bottom line pricing. I think that I don't think the products are necessarily better, but I think if you get 10,000 for the price of one, that's one aspect. I think it's, unfortunately, I think that's not the way to go. I think that if we don't start hiring and giving jobs to our own college graduates, our own secondary school graduates who've gone to trade schools, then, you know, the country just will not be able to get on its feet.
We have civil engineers, they sit behind the desks. They do not involve themselves in the construction of roads. We import instead for somebody else, frankly, to do what we should be able to do. Let's go to the lifeline of the show, which are the telephone callers. Okoye from Nigeria, you're most welcome to Straight Talk Africa.
Good evening, sir. Good evening, madam.
Good evening.
Good evening. How are you?
Fine. I want to find out from madam. In here in Nigeria, we have a lot of engineers, but at the end of the day, you see that they will do what we call substandard jobs. But they are good in terms of knowledge, in terms of capacity. But they cannot deliver, and when they're given the...
Well, it looks like...
Hello, I think we
lost...
America. Is there.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the last part of your question. You broke up.
My last question was that they normally disappear with the money. That's the capital, initial capital they will give them to do the job.
Okay, so your question is?
They don't do what they are supposed to do.
I think, unfortunately...
They don't seem to be patriotic. They don't seem to be committed.
And I think it's historical. I think that, unfortunately, our countries have... We've become accustomed, which is really sad, but to a certain degree, we have become accustomed to systematic corruption. And, you know, you get to the point, you know, which came first? Is it the chicken or the egg? Mm-hmm. Did we come to this way of thinking because corruption came from above? Or is it because we wanted to bypass and do things in a shortcut way? Is that why our leaders decided, well, this is what the people want? Mm-hmm. So we need to really take stock in ourselves. At some point, we have to take pride
in what we do for ourselves and our country. We can blame the government until the cows come home, but if we as individuals do not decide for myself today, I, Suna, I'm going to vote because I need to get a job, or today, I, Suna, I'm not going to automatically pay half price and because someone is willing to do a trade on the side with me. It's gonna be difficult, but at some point, we as individuals have to make a choice of how we want to lead our lives. And those are ideologies that we pass on to our children. So if you have someone who you give a job to and then they run off with the money, you know, it's sad because that person truly believes that they have gotten over. But the truth of the matter is, in a few short weeks, that person's gonna need to do it again and again and again. At what point do you decide, wow, I can't do this anymore? Or when are you gonna land in jail? When are you gonna get caught? When are you gonna get that reputation?
Interesting. Kwame, Suna raised an interesting point earlier, and this was a point that we do not seem to have confidence in ourselves. And during the last nearly 26 years that I have been here at the Voice of America, I have had the opportunity to interview a lot of African leaders. And I recall one day I had interviewed an African leader in East Africa, whom I shall not name. And he said he was tired with having Americans, British, Australians coming to do certain projects. He was now going to turn to the Chinese, who will probably do it better. Then I turned to him and I said, Mr. President, what about your own people? Why can't you give the opportunity to your own people? Give them the necessary training, the necessary skills, so that they can actually do exactly what you want or you wish the Chinese to come and do here. Why can't we, for at least the first time, have confidence in our own people? It seems to me the only confidence we have in some sectors of government in Africa is the security forces, the military, the intelligence, the police. But everything else, you outsource. Why? Why don't we even then, in fact, even outsource presidents?
It is indeed a problem. I think what we really need is attitudinal change, you know. The behaviors have to change, really.
Fundamental changes in our attitudes.
In attitude, yeah. Huh?
And the mindset.
You know, and then the mindset, you know, from the children right up to the elders, you know, we need this change. And and of course, we have to start with baby steps, you know, but we have to create realistic timelines, you know, and measure ourselves as we move along, you know. That's what absolutely is necessary.
I see. Well, on that note, thanks to my distinguished guests, Suna Naro and Kwame Fitzjohn. Thanks to our affiliate stations, along with our viewers and listeners, for many of our Voice of America radio affiliates, Learning English is coming up next. And tomorrow morning, it's Daybreak Africa with James Batte. On behalf of the Voice of America, thanks for tuning into Straight Talk Africa. In the meantime, get better, not beta, Sierra Leone. And please remember to keep the African hopes alive.